BlakeRadio.com.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
Hi, everybody. This is good old JR Jim Ross.
Hey, this is Charlie Haas.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
And you're listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment. Wrestle Talk Radio.
Politically incorrect. I'm damn proud of it.
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling in the WWE.
I could increase my work rate. I could add to the five moves of doom, or maybe let my heel persona shine through.
TNA.
What hurts most are my feelings. You cussed at me. You verbally abused me. Whatever shall I do?
And the indie scene.
I'm Al Silk.
I'm Roddy Piper. This is Awesome Kong.
This is the masterpiece, Chris Masters. This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam.
With your host, Tim Stein.
I have tried to treat you all as adults, but obviously I am the only adult here.
Spud.
Asshole.
Yes, I am.
Mace.
I'm going to speak very slowly so you'll understand me.
And the Omega.
You'll do my bidding or taste my wrath.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, baby.
Our very freedom came under attack in a series of deliberate and deadly terrorist acts. The victims were in airplanes or in their offices. Secretaries, businessmen and women, military and federal workers, moms and dads, friends and neighbors. Thousands of lives were suddenly ended by evil, despicable acts of terror. The pictures of airplanes flying into buildings, fires burning, huge structures collapsing, have filled us with disbelief, terrible sadness, and a quiet, unyielding anger. These acts of mass murder were intended to frighten our nation into chaos and retreat. But they have failed. Our country is strong. A great people has been moved to defend a great nation. Our military is powerful and it's prepared. These acts shatter steel, but they cannot dent the steel of American resolve. Terrorist attacks can shake the foundations of our biggest buildings, but they cannot touch the foundation of America.
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Is the night of TNA no surrender? Yeah, who gave up on this one right at the opening bell? That's what we're here to figure out tonight. This is the Omega, the be-all, end-all of the WTR Network. Joining me tonight, we have Mace.
Yes, I'm here.
And we have Spug.
I am here as well. Yay!
No, Tim.
No. You act as if that's a bad thing.
I just had old jokes ready to go, and they're wasted now.
Eh. Fucker.
We have Tim sound clips.
Fucker.
But yeah, we have no Tim Stein just yet.
Sound clips are just as good. He uses the same jokes every week anyway.
Again, you say that like it's a bad thing. We like the fact that there is no Tim.
So, without Tim Stein here, we're supposed to talk about TNA No Surrender. How about we fuck all that and talk about the DC Comics reboot?
F that.
Sounds like a better idea. We could also talk football.
F that.
Well, the funny thing is, here it is, you know, Spug would talk football with me, you talk comics, either way I'm talking to one of you, but you guys won't be talking to each other because you don't like the topics that either one has, well, can talk about.
Omega,
unless we talk Pokemon, and then the case everybody talks about Pokemon.
Omega doesn't want to talk about football because the Indianapolis Colts are about to go, like, 3-13 on the year.
I don't want to talk about football because I really don't give a rat's ass about the sport.
Funny, I said the same thing about the TNA pay-per-view.
Don't segue us back in!
I watched more of the New York Jets Dallas Cowboys game than I did the TNA pay-per-view.
I think
that's legit.
I think we all did.
I didn't, though. I was busy adding to one of my bookshelves.
And what did Omega add to his bookshelf?
You've got to realize that when Omega adds to a bookshelf, it's not exactly four books.
yeah, Tolstoy's War and Peace, The Great Gatsby. No, I literally added.
he finally put C Spot Run on the bookshelf.
See, that's the kind of bookshelf I would keep. I would keep War and Peace. War and Peace. I'd keep, the Lord of the Rings trilogy. I would keep, The Great Gatsby. And right next to it, it'd either be, Dr. Seuss or something like Drew Carey's Dirty Jokes and Beer.
So you have to put like Green Eggs and Ham in there. Classic. Literary classic.
Cat in the Hat.
Psh. F you and your Cat in the Hat, sir.
I don't want no Green Eggs and Ham.
Would you want them in a boat? Would you want them with a coat? Yes.
I swear Dr. Seuss must have got some of the best drugs in the world.
I think didn't he write that on a dare, like you can't write a book in under 50 words?
I don't know.
It was some kind of thing to see how few words he could actually make a book out of, hence the repetition.
But why did it have to be Green Eggs and Ham?
Because it's Dr. freaking Seuss. What would you expect him?
I suppose it's better than Gay Eggs and Bacon.
We have our own jokes, okay?
Yeah, true. I wouldn't want to be accused of ripping off anybody.
Ooh, don't everyone do that.
Wait, gay eggs and bacon?
It's an old reference, Bug.
Do the eggs wake up in the morning and go, hello?
Well, they come out of a shell instead of a closet, though.
Fair enough.
So if Dr. Seuss booked this pay-per-view, how would he have done it?
It would have been more entertaining and a lot more colorful.
Eh?
And all the matches would have rhymed.
At least then they'd have some kind of structure to them.
I don't know.
But
it's just a sad thing. There's three of us here. Did any one of us watch more than two matches of this goddamn thing?
Omega, there's four. Four. And sort of, maybe.
I watched quite a bit of it, but honestly, I was paying more attention to the football game. I turned the commentary off on the pay-per-view about halfway through. I could have cared less.
Wasn't the only match that you watched, Spug, the women's match because you won spank material for tonight?
No! I watched Samoa Joe and Matt Morgan. And I watched Rude and Gunner, and then Rude and Bubba Ray, and I watched James Storm and Bubba Ray.
It's absolutely brilliant that they decided to treat us to two Bully Ray matches tonight.
Hey, I don't care what that guy's over.
Hey, well, it just amused me that on the first match, the entire storyline and crux of the match was, will he be able to make Bully Ray tap out at a pay-per-view called No Surrender?
I lost interest in the pay-per-view when they started to make me, do math. Oh, God, numbers. Exactly. DQB.
Add points to this guy, subtract points from that guy. Wait, does this count as that? I think even in the office, they just threw the papers up in the air and said, we have no fucking idea!
Oh, God, we forgot to carry the one. That might as well, because nobody was carrying shit in this pay-per-view.
No! Rock no like math! Rock smash stupid calculator!
And then Rock keep using calculator because he's too cheap to buy a new one.
He is part Jewish.
What do you mean? What do you mean buy a new one? He downloads a new one. Jeesh. You actually have to go somewhere to buy one.
I don't know. You could get just about anything these days and it'll have a calculator in it. Probably buy a sandwich and it'll have an inbuilt calculator.
Pretty much.
Ooh, tied game.
I knew it was coming.
Well, it's better than what it was looking in the second quarter. Seriously, 7-0 was bored out of my brains.
Even recapping this pay-per-view, we can't pay attention long enough to recap it. We still care too much about the goddamn football game.
I don't care about football, and I'm more interested in the football game.
Well, has anybody got a list of what the fuck happened?
At some point during the pay-per-view, I got Tiger Balm on my balls.
Not the play-by-play we were referring to.
But the question now comes out to what was more painful, the Tiger Balm or the TNA pay-per-view?
The Tiger Balm by far. Alright, head training today, right? First time in like 2 weeks. And I'm going to admit, I was totally slacking on going to the gym for the last 2 weeks. Haven't made it in there at all. So we get into training today, and we're doing our Hindu squats. And for the first 100, you know, get towards the end, my legs are effing rubber. And our trainer today was like, all right, you know, you guys do this set perfectly. We'll save the last 100 for the end of training. So we did them perfect, and we got to save them. And we're at the end of training, and doing the squats again. I got 75 of 100, and he told me to get the hell out of the ring because I was about to fall over into everybody because my legs were rubber. So I've been relaxing, you know, and I go upstairs during the pay-per-view, throw some Tiger Balm on the legs, and I put it on the thighs, and I got it up high enough that I got it on my sack. And I tell you what, it has not been a pleasant experience for about the past hour.
So with that being said, shall we run down the pay-per-view?
Let's move away.
Yeah, I've heard way too much about... Yeah.
Oh, come on, it's one of the shows with Spug in it. Of course we have to hear about his genitalia at some point.
Big poofy balls. I've been really good about not talking about my dick on the shows. I'll just say that.
Okay.
So
the TNA pay-per-view opened up with Kid Cash versus Jerry Sorensen. Who the fuck is Jesse Sorensen?
He apparently played high school football.
Who the fuck is Jesse Sorensen?
He came down to the ring and signed a football.
Like thousands of other kids across the country that played high school football. Hooray for him.
Seriously, that's the gimmick.
Wow.
I played high school football.
And you're also a wrestler, Spug, so there you go. You can be in TNA now.
Yay! I can have fucked up storylines and a horrible gimmick.
Apparently,
yay!
Apparently this guy was on Big Brother, and he's a reality-based star.
Oh, God.
Wait, hold on. Let's pull out the scorecard, and another way that TNA is copying WWE. Reality-based television star.
Well, keep in mind, this is TNA's third attempt to rip off or used, you know, reality TV. I mean, we could have him, you know, managed by Johnny Fairplay.
Yeah. Oh, look, there's a wall. I'm going to go bash my head against it.
Can we just run down the card?
We're getting to it, Spock. And this actually had an appearance. This was the number one contenders match, apparently, and Jesse Sorensen came out
victorious. That is sad.
He came out victorious as he pinned Kid Cash to move on, and now he's the number one contender for the X Division title, which we will get to in a little bit. But the matchup you said you saw, Spug, was Bully Ray versus James Storm, and they did kind of say that James Storm had to win by submission in this one.
Yeah. Well, I saw like the Sorensen match.
You want to comment about the Sorensen match?
I
was still waking up when the Sorensen match happened. I woke up like 10 minutes into the pay-per-view. It was awesome. I should have stayed asleep.
I really just want to run through the card and then talk about important things.
We're getting to it. I'm just, you know, play along a little bit.
Nobody cares.
Plus, it's a TNA pay-per-view. The most important thing we've talked about so far are your balls.
Anyway, in the first calculator match of the night, Bully Ray went up against James Storm. Bully Ray wins by DQ, which means I think James Storm lost 10 points. Bully Ray won 3. Subtract the 2 divided by 16 times by pi.
Wait, is it an XR4TI calculator?
If you turn it upside down, does it say boobs?
Or hello?
I remember you get one of the scientific calculators that lets you put in hex and gives you like the first 6 letters and you can actually put in ass face. I used to put that in on like just like when the classroom had like here everyone had had to pick from the same calculators and then you know the next class had to come in and do, and pick from the same batch, that's always the last thing I would leave on the calculator before I put it back. So that someone in the next period always got a surprise.
Very well done. But apparently, after all that math, it ended up with Bully Ray getting 52 points.
And no, he was at 52 points. He didn't get 52 points.
He got the 3, so he, you know, whatever.
He got the best chant I've ever heard out of a TNA crowd.
And that was...
the Pussy Ray chant.
No, there was actually better ones. If you can track down, was it Botchamania 183, which was the latest one he put out? There was the Mark Henry Sheamus match from the last pay-per-view, and it's actually got the crowd chanting sexual chocolate and Mae Young's pregnant.
The chant tonight just sounded like, you know, it sounded like an attack out of a perverted anime.
I've seen enough hentai to see where this is going.
I am the demon lord Exodus.
Hey, I've seen clean anime that would do that. I've seen ass beams in Final Fantasy anime.
Touch my glow stick of love.
Speaking of yeah. Hentai, we've got the Knockouts title match next.
It's a great transition. We like to call it on the radio, it's a great transition.
Best transition I've ever heard.
With Mickey James and my spank material.
Pretty much. Mickey James coming out as Wonder Woman tonight.
Speaking of pussy. It had said. I apologize.
Well, I suppose if you want to go really sick, speaking of pussy, Winter won by spraying blood all over Mickey's face.
I will drink her life force.
That's why the pay-per-view is only once a month.
I will drink her life force. I will chew her bones.
We're going to send this show to hell.
Satan 2, we own half the property there now.
Yeah. Jersey Girl says, I'm never going to look at glow sticks the same again.
Have your husband grab you by the ankles next time he's porking you. And then just scream out, I am the demon lord Exodus. Go watch Nightmare Campus, you'll understand.
Oh, good lord.
Winter is your new knockout. Yeah. After winning it and then losing
definitely.
It. And it's, you know, pointless title changes.
Yeah,
it was very Ken Anderson-esque. Because didn't Anderson, like, win the title on a pay-per-view, he dropped it on the Impact, and, like, a month later, he got it back on a pay-per-view?
Pretty much.
Something like that. This seems to be the two-week title change. Winter wins it on a pay-per-view, drops it 2 weeks later at Impact, wins it back at the next pay-per-view.
Because they had to do something special because they were on the road, so they had to give it a title change.
Speaking of title changes, it didn't mean shit. for some reason, Mexican America held the tag team belts. They went up against the black people. The Mexicans versus the African Americans. There's your racist match of the night.
Oh, we're back to the Nation of Domination feuds.
I'm allergic to black people.
I didn't even need to play the clips.
Spunk couldn't watch this match at all.
I was sneezing the whole way through.
I can't really comment on it because I went and made lunch.
All right, I went and looked at this while the match was going on. Did Sarita have something happen to her recently that she suffered facial paralysis? Because all the promo shots of them are with her without that mask.
In the last 2 months, yes.
Okay.
But apparently, last weekend or during the week, she was wrestling without it. I don't, and whatever.
It's magic.
Yeah. Anyway, Samoa.
Yeah, I think it's a work.
It was probably real at first. Now they're just playing it up. Moving on, Samoa Joe versus Matt Morgan.
This match lost me. This is where I really started caring more about the football game.
Same. The only time I really paid attention to this was Matt Morgan putting one foot underneath the ropes while standing outside of the ring to break a count.
That was genius.
That was creative. I like that. And all we really need to know is Samoa Joe lost yet again.
Minus 20 points.
It's Samoa Joe. It could have been minus 6,000.
The finals tonight. Why were they even bothering to count?
No, there was actually no points in this one. Made you think it, though.
That's how much attention I paid to this pay-per-view. I will believe anything you told me.
Well, at this point, we had to bring the calculators out again because we got our next Bound for Glory series match, which was Bobby Roode versus Gunner, with Bobby Roode winning by submission. So he got 10, I think, and I don't even want to start thinking about it. Oh. Even my calculator is looking at me going, I don't fucking know!
All we know for sure is Bobby Roode moved on.
Yeah, and then we had Eric Bischoff coming out and going, good, we're going to put this match unadvertised, unpromoted, on everything, and you guys are going to, like, put on a match. Like, we didn't see that fucking coming.
After all that time, after all the calculations, after all the matches, they do it where the winner of the one match beats the winner of the next match in the finals.
Well, that's because technically it was drawn at 52 points apiece, supposedly. I think the monkeys in the back just threw a calculator at the wall and looked at the numbers and said, yep, that's it.
It's TNA writers. Do you really expect them to be able to count?
Well, I expect them to still be monkeys.
Okay, this is a funny curved one with a little, you go straight top, and then there's this other one that's like round on the bottom and then like goes up on the left side. Or is that the right side? I can't remember.
I don't know.
Speaking of funny monkeys, Brian Kendrick was in our next match.
And this was a disappointment.
Yeah, it was. This was actually something to look forward to, and then it kind of...
Yeah, because you would have seen these guys put a match on in Ring of Honor, and it would have been fast-paced and exciting and really draw you into it. This was slow, boring, with like some... We'll have a quick burst of speed here, and then we'll drag it out for 10 minutes. Oh, look, we're going to do a fast spot. Oh, now we're going to slow it down again. Like, I know wrestling is supposed to be a roller coaster with ups and downs, but this one just really should have been a lot better out of these two.
By the sounds of that explanation, it sounds like the batteries were, like, not fully charged. They were, like, get one burst.
Motherfuckers need Duracells.
Yeah, they keep going and going and going. But we have a new champion.
Yay, Austin Aries is the champion. Goes up against... the guy we don't fucking know. Yay, so exciting.
Jesse Sorensen, go, Jesse Sorensen!
Oh, interception.
You're supposed to run inside the field, dude, not over the out-of-bounds area.
And there's
that isn't a prison line. Don't run over it.
Wait, was his name Plaxico Burress? That might explain a couple of things.
No.
Number 24 for the Jets.
Bart Scott with the interception with 40-something seconds to go.
Is it still tied?
Yes.
Now we're up to the last calculator match that doesn't need a calculator. But Bobby Roode versus Bully Ray.
And here I went out by a calculator just for this match. God damn it.
Yeah, and at this point I really didn't give a shit. I think I went for a wander around the house and just looking at the walls. So that was more entertaining than watching this shit.
Next time, watch paint dry.
We haven't painted any walls.
Next TNA pay-per-view, get a bucket of paint.
I so would, but we're ranting. But anyway. Bobby Roode won. He's now your number one contender for the TNA World Championship.
Yeah.
Which is like, yay, good. They're actually pushing a guy that was a part of the company for 9 years. Watch him get absolutely fucking railroaded for the next month and get slaughtered in 5 minutes of pay-per-view.
Out of all the possible combinations down the floor, I guess that Bobby Roode is the best one up to go up against Kurt Angle.
Well, it's probably one of the more interesting ones.
Yeah.
Dude can wrestle.
And sorry to spoil the main event, but Kurt Angle won again.
Yeah,
yay!
What a fucking... I had turned off the pay-per-view at that point.
Hulk Hogan
and I still fucking worked out the ending.
Yeah, Hulk Hogan interfered, and, you know. And anyway, Kurt Angle is your world champion, and Bobby Roode is your number one contender, so that's your Bound for Glory main event. And the one, here's the positive, TNA, and this will segue into you, Spug. They were actually classy with the beginning of the show and what they did with Rosita, talking about 9/11.
I was going to save that till the end.
But no, let's do it now.
But it's going to bring a whole show down.
We're going to do it, go to a break, and we'll come back.
They were classy. I didn't see it, but I read, and it was extremely classy.
They were very classy.
I don't even have a speech prepared. Now, you know, it's funny. Everybody talks about the phrase, never forget, which was really, really popular the first 6 months after 9/11 happened. And it seems that over the past 10 years, up until about 7 days ago, everybody could have cared less about the almost 4,000 people that died that day in three horrific acts. The funniest thing about that is that everybody wants to wave the flag and wave the banner and talk about, oh, I remember exactly where I was. Yet, they can't be bothered to shake a fireman's hand, or a policeman's hand, or a soldier's hand, whenever they walk by them. I don't care what your political beliefs are, if you hate Bush, if you hate Obama, if you hate the Republicans, or the Democrats, or whatever the fuck. But for Christ's sakes, you're fucking Americans. And on September 11th, 2001, it was the most devastating attack that had happened to us since Pearl Harbor in 1941. And yeah, it propelled us into war again. But let me just ask you this. Hey, Saddam and Osama, look what happened to Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Same shit happened to you. You don't fuck with America and expect not to get your ass kicked. Now, September 11th, tragic, horrible, horrible, horrible day. But I remember September 12th, and looking down my street and seeing American flags on every porch, on every street lamp in every little city, flags across the country. Nobody cared if you were gay, straight, black, white, Asian, for that one day, you were all American. And I want to remember that feeling forever.
Very well said, Spock. On that note, we're going to take a moment of silence. We're going to put, you know, we're going to play the 10-bell salute in honor of all the men and women lost in 9/11. We'll come back, get back into the news, preview Night of Champions and all that fun stuff. This is Wrestle Talk Radio. We'll be back right after this.
professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene. All this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a month's click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Big Bischoff,
Nick Foley,
plus the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling columns today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage.
Barry. Panic Missed Out.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Brett the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Paul Hogan, the quickest of all time.
Jimmy Vance, the Boogie Woogerman.
And tomorrow.
Peter Wilson. Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith. Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site the pros use. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
Here's a quick message going to all the geeks out there. If you want to listen to three guys talk your language, tune in to Otaku Talk Live, Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. What? You expect me to be funny? We do that on the show. So tune in. Listen. I demand it.
Every Tuesday night, wrestling's biggest names stop by OWW Radio.
Hey, this is World War Animal. This is Rick, the model of Martel.
This is the king of old school, Keith Reno.
It's me. It's that D-O-double-G. This is George the Animal Steel.
Tune in as Alan Wojcik and his contributors bring you the online world of wrestling radio, Tuesday nights at 9 Eastern.
If you want some, come get some.
Only on Wild Talk Radio Network on WildTalkRadio.com.
19, you big fat sucker!
Tired of the same old view of Monday night wrestling? Looking for something different? Well, we here at the Wild Talk Radio Network will bring you that alternative. As every Monday night, we bring you the WTR Raw Post Show. Join Sir Rockin' and Mace, along with the likes of The Spud Guy, Jackie Feist, and others, as they give their opinions on all the real mayhem that happens on Monday nights.
They said it was banned, but we said anytime, any place, anywhere.
It's people talking wrestling live on a Monday night, just without the news. Monday nights, right after Monday Night Raw, only on WildTalkRadio.com.
And that's cool. Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody!
It's me, it's that D-O-double-G mobbing once again with Wild Talk Radio. And if you ain't down with that, I got two words for you. Suck it.
Longest to the top. At the top. Straight to the top, but then keep heading up. Starshine, but why we should give up.
And welcome back to WTR Sunday Night Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And for those football fans out there, the game is over now as they do some laterals and all that stuff. Welcome back, everyone, to WTR. So, guys, What do you think of the game?
Yay, Jets!
Much better than the TNA pay-per-view.
The game got...
had a better finish.
Better finish, yeah. It was actually, there was excitement and, you know, all that fun stuff.
There was tension, there was drama, there was excitement.
Started off slow.
There was scores on there that didn't require a fucking calculator.
But now we can use our calculator to, you know, calculate how long Jeff Hardy's going to be in jail for.
10 days.
It's not long enough.
But let's get into this a little bit. Jeff Hardy finally was, you know, pled guilty to 3 felony charges this past Thursday, and he's going to serve 10 days in jail, and has a $100,000 fine, and he's going to be 3 months of probation. We'll go around the horn, starting with you, Mace. Your first reaction to the story coming out?
Dude got off light. Considering this has been tied up in the court system for, what, 2 years?
I believe so, yeah. I believe it just went back to 2009, I think.
Yeah. 2 years tied up in the court system, and this is the result. I hate to speak ill of people, but I'm hoping he fucks up. I'm praying that he fucks up. Because he needs more than just what is technically a celebrity slap on the wrist.
Well, Michael, what was your first reaction to the story?
Not long enough. I mean, $100,000 fine, that's, you know, that's hefty. But then again, for what he was getting paid in the WWE at the height of his career, that's nothing. I mean, that's big to you and me, or big to the common TNA worker. It is not big to Jeff Hardy. And 10 days in jail, unless he spends the entire time bent over, that's not punishment enough.
Spug, your first reaction to the sentence?
Why is he back on TNA television? If Matt Hardy committed so many numerous offenses in the back that his drunk driving was the final straw, then surely over the past 3 years, as we've dealt with this bullshit with Jeff, and his inevitable coup de grace, should we say, at the May pay-per-view, in which he got shot on the entire time because he was too high to wrestle, should get him fired. Again, one, not long enough. Two, why is he still employed?
If he was going to get fired, you would think he would have been fired back in February.
He should have been. That's the thing. He should have been. Jeff Hardy should not have a job right now. Should not have a job.
Now, Maggie, you mentioned that it's not long enough. How long would you have given Jeff Hardy?
Jeez.
If you were the judge and the jury, how would you have handled this?
It's hard for me to make a determination because I don't know what the law. I don't know how the laws would equate over there. I mean, jeez, I'd at least see him in jail for a good 5 months. I mean, two years in the court systems, he's a felon. I mean, Jeff Hardy is now a convicted felon for the rest of his life, and 10 fucking days? God damn.
And you and I both know, and Mason Spugno as well, that they usually don't serve that full amount.
No, they don't.
There's always, quote-unquote, good behavior or a crowded jail cell. And, you know, he could be out in two.
In 2 days?
You hear
he's going to serve his 10 days in county lockup. He's not going to a prison. He's going to serve his 10 days in county lockup.
Is that what it says?
Yeah, he's not going to a prison for 10 days. He's gonna serve his.
Okay.
He's gonna serve his 10 days in a county lockup.
Okay, I did not know that part of the story.
Yeah.
Good. So, because the only part
they might as well put him up at a fucking Hilton hotel then.
County lockups aren't awful, but they're not fun places to be. So I've heard.
Now, Spug, 10 days, you know, good that long enough for you, or how long would you have?
Years. Mm-hmm. He'd serve at least 1 year.
What do you think, Mace?
See, I'd probably go... Oh, let's have a look. Two counts of intent to distribute controlled substance, one count conspiracy to traffic. That would be at least 6 to 8 months, easily. And then I'd throw in the extra 10 days of wasting 2 years of the court's time. So 8 months, 10 days.
I guess that sounds, you know... I'm trying to look up right now, trying to, you know, see what I can find on what the standard thing is, but...
I've only had a few days to research it. It's not like we have calculators or anything.
Okay, two counts of intent to distribute a controlled substance. That would be at least, I'd say probably on average 4 to 6 months per count. And one count of conspiracy to traffic in a compound containing opium. Again, that would be another probably about 6 months. He should technically be going for nearly 1.5 years. But, you know, you got to remember, he's a quote-unquote celebrity.
Right.
So, of course, you know, that means slap on the wrist.
Pretty much, and that kind of, you know... Kind of means, like, he gets away with shit, and he, out of everyone, he shouldn't get away with shit. I believe he was also sentenced, he has to go through some sort of rehab treatment.
He must remain in a drug abuse treatment program as part of his sentencing.
Yes, because that's really going to work this time.
Yeah, especially in TNA, where it seems that you can get away with just about anything.
Yeah.
See, to be honest, like the Jeff Hardy thing is just a resolution of something we've all been waiting for 2 years. What's annoying the shit out of me now is TNA's handling of it. Because in the 10 days Jeff's going to probably be in prison, guess what? They would have pre-taped 3 weeks of television.
Dude, they've handled this thing poorly all along. He'd have the title. Oh, there's a court date coming up. He'd drop the title. Court date get resolved. He'd come back. He'd get the title put on him again.
He was, at one point, he was the TNA World Champion when he was going to court.
That's what I'm saying.
We remember the belt. Thank you.
Yeah. I just looked up on mynorthcarolinadefenselawyer.com. A Schedule 3, 4, 5, or 6 Class 1 felony is 3 to 8 months in prison, which is a drug possession with intent to distribute. It's Valium,
yeah.
Xanax,
so,
Tranquilizer.
So that was close.
Yeah, so 3 to 8 months in prison. And he got 10 days.
And he got 10 days.
Son of a bitch.
See, TNA should fire his ass straight away.
Should have fired it a long time ago.
They
yeah.
should have never picked him up. Never.
Yeah, this is why WWE dumped him off, because they knew this would happen.
They dumped him off shortly after his meth lab blew up.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things like where I will claim WWE doesn't have much foresight in storytelling, but and sometimes they are damn near psychic.
Oh, yeah. Like, Jeff should have been gone a long time ago. Technically, after what's happened with Matt, Kurt Angle should also be looking at the unemployment line right now. But it seems that depending on how much you are liked by guys like Eric Bischoff, depends on if you're going to stay around or whether they're just looking for an excuse to fire you. Isn't that right, Rock?
This is a very good point.
Based on information I got passed along last Monday night.
I'm sure they were looking for reasons to fire Matt. I'm sure. And judging by the stunt he pulled last week, you know.
Oh, God, yeah.
He forgot to aim up.
I thought aren't we breaking a Mesa law right now, talking about Matt?
I don't give a shit anymore. I shall allow this one-time breaking of the Mesa law.
But, I mean...
we're getting off lenient.
Yeah, you're all getting 10 days and a slap on the wrist.
You're getting off light! The thing, though, is, like, if you're going to set an example with somebody like Matt Hardy, who isn't even, you know, that used on your roster, then why are you going to placate Jeff, whom is trafficking felony Schedule 2 narcotics? Just saying. Across state lines. Not even, see, this is why I don't understand why the federal government didn't get involved. Because it's not like it came from one part of North Carolina to the other part of North Carolina. It came from Florida to North Carolina. So it went across state lines.
Omega, what were you doing giving Jeff Hardy drugs?
I swear to God, I didn't think they'd find that coffee can.
Well, so you are the fan in Florida?
God, no.
Because there is more to the story that came out this week. The package was sent. There's a package sent to Jeff Hardy at one point, and the person's label is a Florida fan, a fan in Florida, and contained a coffee can that was filled with 262 prescription hydrocodone painkillers.
Vicodin,
yeah. The story states the police resealed the package and had delivered to Hardy's home, and the police raided the home when he accepted the package and found other drugs, and he gets 10 days.
That's where they found the cocaine residue.
And what's
that? And the paraphernalia.
10 days.
10 days.
God.
And he doesn't lose his job.
And they, on Impact, they build it up. Oh my God, give me one more chance. One more chance.
Why? So you can fuck it up again?
I think it's the Charlie Sheen approach. Just, we want to keep a camera on him for the next train wreck.
Which will be airing on September 19th. Sorry, Charlie Sheen Comedy Central roast. That's going to be funny.
Yes, it will be. But aren't they coming out with a new Jeff Hardy DVD as well? I believe it's like enough is enough, and it's time for a change, and they should seriously get rid of Jeff Hardy yesterday.
We've all said the same thing. He should have been gone many months ago. But it seems, as I said, depending on who you are and how well you are liked by management, depends on what you can get away with. It's really a shame to see TNA acting in this type of manner, where, yeah, okay, you've basically been done on drug charges. You're now a convicted felon, technically. Here's a pay rise. We're going to put out a DVD. We're going to merchandise the shit out of you and put you back on TV.
So the bigger you fuck
up... Right, because that's going to be good for the kids.
Yeah. The bigger you fuck up, the more prominent role you get in TNA.
Let's sell action figures to the kids. Meanwhile, while the Pussy Ray chant is going on and we push the convicted felon.
Well, we now know what some of the well, guys that really need a push. I got a message for Eric Young. Go out and kill someone. Then you'll be TNA World Champion for many, many months to come. Because that seems to be the way it works. The more attention you can get for the company, the more you're going to be pushed. Doesn't matter whether it's good or bad, as long as you're getting them attention.
But isn't he getting enough attention with, you know, Scott Baio?
Right.
You didn't see the epic battle between Scott Baio and Eric Young?
I must have needed to go take a shit.
I'd have had to give a fuck at some point, Rock.
But it's been all over the new... No, wait. No one covered it.
And not one fuck was given that day.
I say we come back and take a break and come back and talk about WWE stuff that we actually care about. How's that sound?
Hooray.
So, do we have fucks back that can be given?
I think we can give somewhat of a fuck on our next segment. I think.
Well, wasn't Natty out there? We could give her a fuck.
Oh!
And on that note...
Hey, Tim's not here. I don't give a fuck.
And on that note... This is Wrestle Talk Radio, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll come back, preview United Champions, get into the PWI Top 50 Women's Wrestlers of 2011, and the great debate is still to come. This is Wrestle Talk Radio. We'll be back right after this.
Wednesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Otaku Talk Live.
I got a 15 on the intelligence roll.
Okay, what are you doing with it?
Trying to find a slinky.
Okay, you find a slinky, but it's one of those cheap new plastic ones.
That's fine. Go to the top of the stairs.
I yell, watch out for paint cans.
Duck.
Okay, since he is smart enough to say duck, he dodges the duck that swings down from the top.
Duck and dodge paint cans, ducks, and any other flying object.
Okay, okay, you also ducked the frequency that flew by, but that's okay. You're now at the top of the staircase, with a slinky in hand.
Put the slinky on the top stairs and tip it over.
I get our following to, well, not our, but Shiniko's following to members, and we all start going, go, 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 go.
All right, hang on a second. Oh, the slinky stops halfway down.
Oh!
God, I hate when that happens.
You know what? At this point, I'm going to roll for the steal and the win.
Wait, what?
LAB Rules, Chapter 7, Subsection 15.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, you're right. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, roll a d20.
I hope Bob Barker doesn't go in this castle.
For more geekiness, tune in to Otaku Talk Live, 9 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Attention, Wild Talk Radio Network fans. Are you looking for a show that is wholesome? A show that is family-oriented and kids-friendly? And a show that is filled with politically correct humor? Then tune in to the WTR Network every Saturday night at midnight Eastern for all things G-rated.
Hold on. Fuck that politically correct bullshit. Tune in Saturday nights for No Limits Extreme Conversation, covering everything from, well, just about anything you can possibly imagine. If you can think it, it will be talked about and more live Saturday nights on Cigarette Butts and Bandanas, live midnight Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
Hey, I just can't stand.
And you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
That really move him. I said, see ya.
Step that mountain's too high. Step that.
This is Wrestle Talk Radio live on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We are back live here on WildTalkRadio.com. We're going to get into Night of Champions. Tonight, which is next next Sunday. Echo somewhere. Nope. So, anyway.
Echo. Just you.
Just me. Anyway, we'll get into Night of Champions, and let's start at the bottom and work our way up. Divas champion Kelly Kelly battles Beth Phoenix. Is this the chance finally we get Beth Phoenix as champion now, Mace?
10-second squash match. Kelly Kelly will win.
Wait, 10 seconds? Kelly Kelly will win in
10 seconds?
Can she?
Oh, come on. You know, they would go for 3 seconds and completely bury the whole gimmick that Beth and Nadia got going, but they just wanted to draw our hopes up just a little bit. I have no faith in the Beth character or the Natty character, like the gimmick they're doing. I've got no faith in it because, well, it's Kelly Kelly, and she seems to be the undefeatable diva these days.
Kelly Kelly comes in, whacks Beth with her tits, 1, 2, 3, 7 seconds. Then the next Monday night on Raw, you find out she was wrestling with loaded implants.
That would sound somewhat interesting. That's giving them way too much credit.
Is that like the Lex Luger loaded forearm?
Exactly. There's a metal plate in there.
The match would be more along the lines of Beth beats the shit out of Kelly for a few minutes, and Kelly gets a mysterious roll-up out of nowhere after a corner clothesline.
I think that's why so many girls are starting to use the Luthez press. I think they're trying to also whack them.
You know, if it wasn't for the fact that most of the... When you compare the two companies, I would more prefer... If they're going to do the Luthez tip whacker, that it'd be the knockouts, because, you know, Velvet, ODB, they probably take people's heads right off.
Spug, you got an opinion on this one?
No. No, I don't.
No? So you agree 10 seconds win over?
Maybe not 10 seconds, but I think Kelly's going to win.
Okay. In a matchup that, well, we have the Air Boom against what's the Miz and R-Truth's tag team?
My name's Better.
Your name's Better, yeah. And what was that? Air Kings.
Air Kings.
They defend the tag team titles against the Miz and R-Truth. I'll ask because Mace answered this question on Monday night when we do a post-Raw show that everyone should tune into and listen to. That's like 11:30-ish on Monday night. But I asked,
the most awesome intro ever.
Yes, very much so. I asked this to Mace and Spug. I'll ask you. You agree with us that Kofi Kingston and Evan Bourne, they're an exciting tag team, right?
Yeah, they work.
Yes. What was the last exciting tag team out there before Kofi Kingston and Evan Bourne?
So far, that's the result we gave.
Oh, God.
And that.
The Motor City Machine Guns.
We're talking to say with WWE.
No.
Yes.
It was WWE tag team.
Yeah.
The most exciting WWE tag team.
Yeah, the most exciting WWE tag team.
Billy and Chuck. I don't know.
Doesn't that say something about the tag team division then?
Pretty much. It's a laugh that they're now trying to go, oh wait, we want to improve the tag division. You need one to actually improve to begin with.
Because we got down to it for exciting tag teams, we had to go back 11 years.
Good lord.
To the Hardys, the Dudleys, Edge and Christian.
Yeesh.
Talk about
WWE being psychic. You know, you pair up Team Extreme, and all three of them ended up being colossal fuck-ups. I mean, Matt goes and blows his job in TNA. Jeff goes and blows his house and his life. And Lita goes and blows everybody.
I was waiting for that.
Yeah, you knew it was coming.
That's what Lita said.
But you know how WWE can, like, get a real memorable tag team? They call a tag team, we got no idea. Because everybody will remember that tag team. We don't know. That's the name of the tag team. Because nobody can fucking remember anything when it comes to tag team wrestling in WWE.
That's what they need to name a tag team. No tag division. What do you think about the WWE? What do you think about the tag teams in WWE? Well, there's no tag division. Awesome, I know them.
So I guess this is the point where we have to pick winners.
Yeah. What do you think about the matchup between these two teams at Night of Champions Omega?
Miz desperately needs to be in something worth his time. Outside of that, if they're gonna go with actually giving Kofi and Bourne an actual name as a tag team, they kind of have to win this match just for a slight edge in credibility.
So who would you have take the defeat?
Probably R-Truth when Evan Bourne comes out in a Spider-Man outfit.
I could see that happening. And, you know, the only other person that can come out in the Spider-Man outfit would be, the Spider outfit would be, Rey Mysterio.
Well, no, he can't because he'd have to hobble to the ring.
Okay, not right now. But in like 10 months from now.
I know that's not a spider. He's only got 3 arms. That's a leg, Truth. I don't care.
Cause I'm a good R-Truth.
What do you, how do you see this one going, Mace?
I think the black guy teams with the white guy and wins. Oh, wait, that's not clear enough, is it?
No.
It's a racially diverse match of the night.
Yeah. I'm probably going on the same thinking as Omega. If they put enough time to give Kingston and Bourne an actual tag name that I've already forgotten, then they should come out of this as champs.
Our next matchup on the card is the World Heavyweight Championship match, Randy Orton versus Mark Henry.
It's not Christian.
he's not... Christian's not black and 500 pounds?
I think he ran with that gimmick in the indies. It's kind of disappointing, and like at the same time, it's like, oh, good, fresh match. But, oh, wait, Orton and Christian were still putting on good matches.
Yeah, and now we get Randy Orton and Mark Henry. I don't know. I don't know how to think about this one. What do you think, though, Mace?
I don't know what to think. I really just don't give a shit. Like, I haven't... Besides actually sitting there being impressed by the matches between Orton and Christian, I haven't really given a shit about Randy Orton as the champion. And Mark Henry suddenly coming out of nowhere with his Hall of Pain bullshit. It makes me wonder if we're actually going to have Mark Henry World Heavyweight Champion. Only because then it would lead into a better series of matches against Sheamus.
Who do you see coming out on top in this one, Omega?
Probably Orton. The way they built up Mark Henry just seems more along the lines of giving someone to Orton who seems credible, who seems threatening, so Orton can come out looking the hero in the match. Though, that's technically how it should end, but since they'll probably drag this out, I'm saying Mark Henry by DQ. No title change hands, but, yeah. You know, continue making him look threatening.
See, that's how I was thinking, either some sort of DQ or some sort of run-in.
I didn't think it'd be a run-in.
Well, someone, you know, that's been put in the Hall of Pain, perhaps. If they need stars to bring back, you know, like Big Show or Kane. Just a thought. This one is not officially confirmed, but I think all signs point to DiBiase and Rhodes for the Intercontinental Championship.
Yeah, it looks like it by what they're
going on. I haven't been paying attention. They actually split those two?
Yeah, Ted lost to somebody, and then Cody freaked out. They're now feuding again. I guess he lost to Randy Orton, I believe that was how it happened.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, even though we tweet along with SmackDown every Friday night at twitter.com/smalltalkradio, you kind of have to pay attention to more than just sarcastic comments. Anyway, well, who do you think would come out in the matchup? Do you continue the push of Cody Rhodes and keep the Intercontinental Championship on him, Mace?
I'd probably see DiBiase. Taking
really?
The belt.
Really?
Yeah, just to give Cody something more to bitch about. And then it leads into a longer version of the feud.
What do you
where
think?
Instead, if you had Cody going over and keeping the belt, it'd be like, well, what was the point of it anyway?
True. Do you agree or disagree, Omega?
I could see DiBiase winning the belt here. I mean, at a pay-per-view called Night of Champions, you do need a few title switches. That seems to be the most viable one that could change hands. More than that, WWE is very much aware of how badly they've dropped the ball with DiBiase, because he's a great talent, but they've barely used him. You know, the whole purpose of bringing him back with Cody Rhodes was to reintroduce him to the WWE, remind him of, you know, the history he's had, and then turn him around and, you know, actually make something of him.
Right.
Which is what they seem to be doing here.
I still think they need to put Joe Henning with them.
They dropped the ball really bad on the whole Fortunate Son thing that they were going to do.
Well, you have Mike Rotundo's boy, you have Kurt Hennig's boy, Ted DiBiase's son, and Dusty's son. All four of them are Hall of Famers. Rotundo may not be in the WWE Hall of Fame, but he is a Hall of Famer, I believe, somewhere else. I think he's in the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame. But why not put the four of them together? I mean, that to me is an excellent, excellent group and angle. It would make sense,
but then again, you've already had two of them teamed up in a similar group for Legacy.
That's what I'm saying. Just bring back Legacy, but you bring all four of them in.
And you make Cody the head guy.
The leader.
Like, so basically you're thinking DX2 style return.
Not really. It's...
Well,
if the way you look at it, you have... They are the future of professional wrestling. You look at the lineage passed down to them. Mr. Perfect. The Million Dollar Man. The American Dream. Mike Rotunda. I mean, those four names are synonymous with professional wrestling throughout the history.
Right. And the point I think Omega was trying to make with DX2 was how Triple H took over and created his own faction of people.
I suppose.
Basically, a reinvention of the stable with the few of the previous building blocks.
I mean, I suppose. I hate the way that they dropped the ball with DiBiase, and they're dropping the ball with Joe Henning, and since WrestleMania, they've really dropped the ball with Cody Rhodes.
Mm-hmm. And down in FCW, they keep losing other, you know, sons there. We lost the other DiBiase.
Yeah, but he got injured, didn't he?
Yes.
I think he's done for good now.
Yeah, he's done
he,
for
he,
good.
He, made, he, tra- he went the transition to being a referee, but it still aggravated his injury too much.
Yeah, he's done.
And who else? One of the other second or third generationers, like, got hurt recently.
What's another Rotundo?
I think it was lacerated kidney.
I think it was Husky Harris.
No, I don't think it was Husky.
Oh yeah, it was Rotundo.
Yeah, it was Husky Harris.
No, was
it Bo?
He was wrestling as Bo Rotundo. It's different than Husky.
But Husky Harris is Rotundo's boy. That's who I'm talking about.
Yeah, but there's another Rotunda in FCW. It's Bo.
Is there?
Yeah, Bo Rotundo.
Yeah.
So there's two Rotundas and it's Rotundos or whatever in FCW.
His real name's Taylor Rotunda.
Yeah. But they have him as Bo Rotundo. My head hurts with WWE names.
Change one letter.
It's all one letter.
Alright, everybody get out the calculators.
Okay, let's see. You're the boy of Hennig, McGillicuddy. You're the boy of Rotunda, Rotundo.
Is that a triple word score?
Genius!
Is a triple word score in Scrabble, Rotunda.
You're yeah, a child, that's, you're a child of Guerrero, Jobber.
Moving on the card, as it were, we have the WWE Championship match, Alberto Del Rio against John Cena.
I want the lighting rig to fall on this match.
Elaborate,
we
please.
We do something like double pin, title held up, neither one gets to be champion.
You're not feeling the Alberto Del Rio title reign?
I'm going to be at Raw next Monday.
Yes, you are.
Okay, cut the brake lines to his Mercedes.
So we know Omega's opinion, Mace.
let me...
I'd rather have Del Rio win so at least he has some credibility as a champion, and I really don't want to see him on Cena. But I still don't like him with a title.
Okay, now Mace.
I want the ring announcer guy to win.
Ricardo Rodriguez.
Seriously, how many times would you cheer for Rodriguez over Del Rio?
Yeah, he's more entertaining.
I pop more for that little bastard doing the ring announcing than I do Del Rio.
Yeah, and I don't understand a word he says.
Exactly.
I'm a bigger fan of his promo work, and I don't get a goddamn word of it.
But there's no need to do a prediction on this, because we all know Super Cena will win. Right down to the point where I might as well be playing the Superman theme when he starts coming out to the ring. Which, by the way, YouTube does a brilliant version of that.
Oh, Christ. Spug, what's your take on this battle between Del Rio and Cena?
Del Rio's gonna win.
Simple as that. Clean win.
Clean finish.
Simple as that. Okay, moving on to our...
Because I could give a fuck less, dude. Yeah,
I know. I'm moving on. In our main event of a Champions pay-per-view, it's a no-disqualification match between Triple H and CM Punk.
Night of Champions. No belts in the main event.
But Triple H's job is on the line.
Match on the card.
Yeah. Triple H's job is on the line.
Only an interesting stipulation if CM Punk can win his job.
Well,
CM Punk doesn't get his job.
I know, but that's the only way this is interesting to me. If the job was actually up for grabs like a title would.
Because that would be fucking awesome, because CM Punk would win, and the next night, on Monday night, we would have the return of the WWE ice cream bars. That would be his grand speech. You come out at the start of Raw, my first act as the new CIO of WWE is to bring back the ice cream bars.
No. First words on the mic. Ice cream bars for everyone! And you see the vendors coming down through the aisles with the big trays of the ice cream.
That would be awesome.
Spug would be happy. He would get ice cream. Free ice cream. But, would anyone want to throw out a prediction of what actually happens in the finish?
Punk goes for the go to sleep, Triple H slips out, kick to the gut, pedigree 1-2-3.
Spug.
Punk goes over after interference.
From the Raw GM?
God.
Please, I think they actually forgot that thing existed.
Yeah, how much do you know the Raw GM has forgotten about when Triple H leaves Monday Night Raw and the one who makes the matches after that is Teddy fucking Long?
Good point. Omega, do you have a finish for this match?
Oh, hell, I don't... This is actually. You know what? I'm gonna call CM Punk to win, because that would put him, that would basically force the Raw GM back in as a character, since someone has to be running the Monkey House, and that might actually bring about a storyline where we get to see who the fuck it is if CM Punk's running it. Shut up, GM.
Good point. So that's Night of Champions, which is next Sunday night, live on pay-per-view. Call your cable providers and buy it. And then tune in at 11 p.m. Eastern, and we'll actually recap it for you.
We will actually recap it.
We'll actually recap it, unlike tonight's pay-per-view. We promise. It'll be better next week.
Unless Spug spills Tiger Bomb on these balls again.
We've gone like a half hour without mentioning his genitalia, and you had to bring them back into it.
I don't love the careful phrasing
up
there, Rock.
I know, I'm good
he
like that.
He caught himself. I could hear it.
But moving...
It's like, I don't want to be clipped, goddammit.
I wouldn't clip myself anyway.
Yeah, but you're not the only one with editing software on this network, dude.
Yeah, like you would actually do something to clip it?
It takes like 10 seconds to clip it.
Yes. Anyway, moving on, he says, the PWI Top 50 Women's Wrestlers of 2011 were announced. The top 10 are Madison Eagles, the Shimmer Champion, Mercedes Martinez, Mickie James, Natalya Neidhart, Madison Rayne, Cheerleader Melissa, Beth Phoenix, Tara Mischief, and Sarah Del Rey. Overall takes on the top 10 or the list in general. Anyone missing from the list? Anyone too
never
high?
Never heard of half of them.
A motherfucking Aussie on top. Yeah.
Jessica Havoc on that list at all?
Number 35.
What about Sassy Steph?
41.
Kelly
Nelson Danger at 45.
Yeah. Kelly is 15. Angel Orsini is 22. Melina, 23. Gail Kim is at 26.
How would you know where she ranks? Shut up, GM! Don't interrupt me. How would you even know where Gail Kim ranks this year when she hasn't been in a single fucking match?
She was in that one Battle Royal that no one cared about.
She was in that one tag match where Kelly did everything.
One person absent from the list is, you know, even though I know why she's absent from the list, but she's still absent from the list, is Awesome Kong. Karma, whatever you want to call her.
Yeah, well, that's sort of a given.
She really didn't do anything in the last year.
Plus, she only got one Bella on there.
I know, how did they determine which Bella?
They put two photos on opposite walls, spun the guy around, and he just held his hand out and pointed, and when he stopped, the closest one, that was the one that went on the list.
So one of the Bellas is good enough to be in the top 50, and one of them is not?
Because one of them held the Divas title, the other did not. At least that's their reasoning for it.
That's a good enough reason as any, I guess.
Yeah, I'm looking through this now. And this is just a personal thing for me, only because I know the bitch myself. You know, how the hell did Kelly Skater get into the top 50? I used to train with her when she started in this business, and she has not gotten any better. Mind you, I'm sort of looking at the way it's constructed.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like they got a pack of cards out for that top 10, wrote names on them, shuffled them up, and that's how you did it. Because the mid-range starts to drop into purely TNA and WWE territory, and then the bottom is filled up with your indies again.
Pretty much, yeah.
I think they've done this almost the complete opposite that they do their top 500.
Mm-hmm.
Which is usually you'll have a WWE or a TNA names taking up usually the top 25. Whereas this one, they wanted to try and win over the wrestling fans by putting independents in the top 10. Because I'm quite sure that they really didn't watch too much like Shimmer or WSU. Whereas a lot of these girls that are sitting in the bottom part of it would be sitting either mid to top.
That's a fair point. This is where we now move to...
This would be the roundtable. Anthony Dancy roundtable with no intro. Dun, 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 dun. With no intro. Dun, 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 dun.
The question of the night is, how would you improve women's wrestling? Spug?
You're going to me first?
Yes.
It seems that the opinion of women's wrestling is derived from what WWE does or what TNA does. And while most of them are hot, a lot of them still can't wrestle a lick because they're models. Start using actual women's wrestlers like Jessica Havoc, and Sarah Del Rey, and Mickey Knuckles. And, you know, they may not be the greatest thing to look at, but they're wrestlers. Look at some of the guys' wrestlers. They're not the greatest thing to look at either.
Fair point. Omega?
I'd pretty much be... I'm pretty much in the same mindset, and I've seen women's matches out of Japan that just blow anything that WWE does out of the water. And Shimmer is something I should have looked into at some point. I've never gotten around to it, unfortunately. But I know the work rate there is dramatically better than it is over on WWE or in general on nationally televised wrestling in the first place. If you want to improve women's wrestling, you either improve the marketability of Shimmer, or the Shimmer roster has to be on, you know, either TNA or WWE. You know, so at the least, talented female wrestlers are actually in the mainstream. Better I just cut out TNA's or WWE's hiring requirement that, you know, you must be at least a C cup to work here.
Mace, how would you go about it?
Omega pretty much nailed what I was thinking. It's not so much that women's wrestling needs to be improved, it's more the promotion of women's wrestling that needs to improve. Like, most wrestling fans, as Omega has demonstrated, has not seen Shimmer. 9/10 of them probably wouldn't have even heard of WSU. And they are probably the top two women's companies in the world. Probably, well, at least North America anyway. Some of the Japanese stuff is absolutely mind-blowing as well. But, you know, we are stuck with what the main two companies, TNA and WWE, present to us as what is women's wrestling, which is a real shame. Because, you know, there's better work rates, better storylines, better characters in places like Shimmer and WSU than compared to what you're seeing on television every week. Plus, you know, hell, some of the women are actually hotter. I know there's quite a few WSU women that we've interviewed that Spug and I have been sitting there afterwards going, the things you could do. Aren't I right, Spug? Mercedes Martinez?
I would bend her in ways that would make Gumby scream.
My point made.
And that does it. That's how we here at Wrestle Talk Radio would improve women's wrestling. But it's now time to move on to the segment that Spug created. It's time for The Great Debate.
The bell has sounded for this week's Great Debate.
For the last few weeks, I come out here and I sit here and listen to you spend your little nursery rhymes about Jabroni Avenue or No Euro Boulevard. You better get your ass serious because Stone Cold Steve Austin is going to take his ass to Philadelphia, check right in to the SmackDown Hotel, roll right in to room 316, and burn that son of a bitch to the ground.
You know, the Rock just came from the bathroom. You should have smelled what the Rock was cooking. I ain't faking. You should have smelled what the Rock was baking.
Now, step into the ring with us for this week's Great Debate.
And this week's Great Debate features this first matchup. Chris Jericho, Shawn Michaels, that feud going up against the feud of Raven and CM Punk. We will start with Omega for this one.
This one's a little difficult for me, if only because I'm really not that familiar with Raven and CM Punk's feud. This is going to be a really uninformed vote, but honestly, it'd be hard for me to top Chris Jericho and Shawn Michaels anyway, because that does lead into the favorite my favorite match from WrestleMania at 19. It's also the feud that led into some of HBK's better matches leading up to his retirement. So on both levels, I've really enjoyed when those two work together. I mean, they both had a similar climb in the business. They both were, they're very, you know, very similar workers, incredible in the ring, incredible in the mic. They just clicked the right way. I mean, their feuds felt big and epic, even if there wasn't a title involved. So I'm going with that.
Mace, what is your take on this battle?
Well, this one, I sort of look at it overall storytelling, what's behind it and everything. The story between Jericho and Michaels was a very simple one. Jericho has always been compared to Shawn Michaels, and all Jericho wanted was to step out from behind the Shawn Michaels shadow and take the spotlight for himself, which indeed lead to a very spectacular match at WrestleMania 19. On the other hand, the Raven-CM Punk feud was very original, where it was, this is the originator of the CM Punk straight edge society. This was this was Jeff Hardy and CM Punk done right. This was, you know, straight edge versus the guy who is a self-admitted former alcoholic and very big drug abuser. And they brought all that into storylines, and they made that into a great big ethical feud, which to me was a lot more entertaining. So I'm going to end up going for Raven and CM Punk.
To break the tie and for the feud to move on, we turn to you, Spug.
Omega's going to be sad.
Yeah.
Because I'm going with CM Punk. Well, the Shawn Michaels-Jericho feud was excellent. It wasn't the best Shawn Michaels feud. So I can't vote it over what WWE copied off of when they did the Jeff Hardy angle with CM Punk. CM Punk and Raven was absolutely fantastic. Fantastic for you, and for all the right reasons.
So there, so we now have Raven and CM Punk moving on in the Great Debate, and our next battle features Randy Savage and Ultimate Warrior taking on Hulk Hogan and the Nature Boy Ric Flair. We'll stay with you, Spug, for the first vote.
Oh, I hate you. I hate you.
Would you rather start it or finish it?
Either way, I'm going to get fucked on this one. It's a sham. It's rigged. Rigged. Hogan and Flair was a different. Hogan and Flair was almost personal. I mean, and it was very personal for a while. You have Hogan, who, you know, was constantly compared to Ric Flair as far as, you know, the draw and whatnot. And Ric Flair, who is probably one of the biggest legends in professional wrestling. However, Macho Man and Ultimate Warrior was a feud that took a year to culminate. And the greatest thing about that feud was that Macho Man Randy Savage got one of the best matches of Ultimate Warrior's career out of it. And so for that, I have to vote for Savage and Warrior.
So that's one vote there. Mace, go to you.
I barely remember Savage and Warrior. I probably should, given that I am a child of the 80s wrestling generation. However, I can't remember it for the life of me. I'm sitting here racking my brain to remember the storyline.
I'm going to punch you in the cunt.
But yet, I can remember Flair and Hogan over two companies. You had when Flair came in 92 and started calling himself the Real World Heavyweight Champion. You know, and at the time, Hogan was also the champ. So there was a big comparison between the two, which has gone on for many years. Then in WCW, you had the NWO versus the Four Horsemen, which became another thing of Hogan versus Flair. When you can take two guys, two big names, and it doesn't matter which company they're in, you can put them together and draw money. That's the one I'm going to go with. So I'm going to go with Flair and Hogan, even though it's going to get me punched in the cunt.
That's what we call an upper cunt.
So that ties it up, and Omega.
I'm going to punch you in the cunt, too.
What?
He hasn't even said anything.
I've done nothing.
It's a sham. It's rigged.
I'm an innocent little lamb in this situation.
Yeah, and you're going to make really good lamb chops in about 5 minutes.
Well, you already broke my heart in this feud. You know, it's only right to return the favor. Except I'm not going to.
Yay! We get to fuck Mace!
That sounds wrong.
Whoa, whoa, whoa! I've changed my mind. Now, Spud pretty much hit the points that I had in mind. For how long it went, for how good it got, and it's just me. I kind of love the lunacy of putting two guys with barely a thread of sanity between them in a feud that goes on that long. But the culmination of it, the stakes at hand, and the fact that, yeah, he did. He got the best match Warrior ever had. I'd say that's an enormous credit to that feud. I mean, the Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair, I mean, good feuds. The real world champion. I fondly remember the feuds like that, but I can't help but feel it got tainted because Horsemen and NWO really didn't go the way it probably should have. Because NWO just kept chugging along. Four Horsemen just kept getting injuries. And these days, you know, there's no trace of the feud. I don't know. It's hard for me to take the old feud seriously when they're just forgotten about now. And all of a sudden, Hogan and Blair can be buddy-buddy.
You're spared from the cunt punching.
So Warrior Savage moves on in the great debate. Next week, things get more interesting. It's Ric Flair versus Ricky Steamboat taking on Jake Roberts and Rick Martel in one battle. The other battle is Triple H versus The Rock going up against Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant. We weren't kidding, folks. We have some great matches. But now, I think it's time, Spug.
Time for the round table?
Time
for what?
No, not time for the round table.
We did that already. Are we gonna do it? Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
Wow.
That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
Let's start off with you, Spug. The legacy of Paul Heyman is what?
Genius promoter, horrible businessman.
Simple as that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he had a vision for things as a booker and a promoter that were absolutely wonderful and drew the audience in. He could get his guys to tell a story better than anybody. The problem was is that if you gave him a checkbook, he handled it like Jeff Hardy handles his drugs.
He snorted it?
Pretty much.
And this is where we say happy birthday, Paul Heyman. And we go to you, Omega. What is the biggest mistake a manager can make?
Biggest mistake a manager can make? I mean, like...
In general, as a manager, what's the biggest mistake you can make?
I can make...
Hiring Jeff Hardy as a client.
Not getting your TPS reports filled out on time and handing them into the boss. We need them in triplicate. In triplicate!
Trying to put in that extra hour on the time clock, even though I only stayed until about 5:28.
Triplicate!
The biggest mistake a manager can make...
Triplicate! I warned you.
Yeah, he did.
The whole purpose of a manager is to the biggest failing of a manager is failure to promote their wrestler. The whole point of a manager is to build up somebody who either, you know, isn't good with promos or mic skills yet, or a manager has such a strong presence and personality that, you know, they can get someone over just by being in their corner and helping them work the match. You know, be it, you know, the occasional trip to the opponent or throwing in a chair, that kind of thing. The biggest failure is to basically be an ornament, which, if you've seen any of Tyson Kidd's matches where he's had managers in the last few months, pretty much.
They did not fill out their forms in Triple K.
That means someone watched WWE Superstars on WWE.com.
Triplicate!
Mace, what is a special guest superstar?
Triplicate!
I think even the GM agrees. Now, what is a special guest superstar?
Eugene.
What is the
reason I ask is they last on the commercial for SmackDown, they're promoting Edge as a special guest superstar. I want to know what it is, because we have a guest host, we have a guest GM, we have a guest star, but we've never had a guest superstar. So what do you do with a guest superstar? What is it?
You give them a microphone, get them the Kyle Sappy promo leading into an absolutely stupid little storyline that lasts one night and then bores the shit out of everybody and makes us turn off SmackDown. In other words, pointless.
There you go. Okay, back to you, Spug. If you were a talented musician at some point in your life, I'm moving on from that comment. What famous band would you have liked to play in if you were this talented musician, and what kind of instrument would you want to play in that band?
I would be a drummer, and I would be in Metallica, so Lars' pussy ass couldn't ruin it! It smells like raw sewage in my office. It's horrible.
Well, turn off the pay-per-view rerun.
I crop-dusted myself.
See, I wrote this question before the pay-per-view, but I'm going to you, Maze. There was a rumor that this week there would be a 3-hour Impact. Do you think you could actually sit through a 3-hour Impact?
No!
How could we? We paid more attention to football than the 3-hour Impact we had to pay for tonight.
Yeah, is it going to be football on Thursday night?
No, no. There's college football. There's college.
There's college football, and
that's true.
And if it's a 3-hour, if it's a 3-hour Impact, it is in triplicate. Yay!
Ah.
Omega, what? Who is someone you would like to see WWE make a DVD? Make a DVD about that hasn't already been made.
Ooh.
No help, Smug.
Trying to remember who's had a DVD and who hasn't, because it's kind of thin.
Best of the Midgets in WWE.
Not answering that.
You guys like people like Dean Malenko for one. They haven't made a DVD about some of the
Canada.
Shut up, Spock. Spock. No. No. But that does.
See, I can't answer. No, Spug, I can't give that answer because I can only answer in duplicate.
She is not.
That.
Honestly, the best answer I can give, and God damn it, the she bitch has to die before we'll ever get it, is Owen Hart.
There you go. This is now a question for all three of you. It's an additional quick hit, because it's only relevant this week. Take your pick. Who would win in an MMA-style street fight? Lenny Poffo, versus Greg Valentine.
Poffo.
There you go.
It's hard.
Oh, shut up. Poffo. Lenny Poffo or Greg Valentine? Who would win?
Greg Valentine.
Anyone else?
I have to give it to Valentine.
Mace?
I'd have to go against everybody and give it to Poffo. Only because he could actually walk.
Well, aren't you just an asshole, sir?
And one final one for Omega and Spunk.
Okay. See what happens when you disagree, Mace?
No. Well, kind of. This one... This is a question you have to answer about Mace. What is your favorite thing about Mace?
Impossible questions.
He makes a good little spoon.
No. For that, Spug, I'm going to punch you in the cunt.
That's my favorite thing about Mace.
In triplicate.
He makes a good little spoon.
Omega.
His patience in deals.
So that's, you know, quick hits, because the final question was because guess whose birthday is tomorrow?
Aww.
Mace's! Yay!
See how much they care about you, Mace? Those are the two nice things they could think of.
Yeah.
Yes, but we're also trying to break his balls at the same time.
He's like a roast, like we did to Tim. Mace won't let us do one about him.
Aww.
Fuck Mace! That's
because Mace's birthday falls on the 13th of September, which is, no, WWE Radio! With Alan Ojek.
Yes. But tomorrow night, if we're not watching football, we'll do a Raw post show at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
I will be
football.
Yes, I will be watching football.
If we're not watching,
and I won't be around.
Yeah, so we may or may not do it. So just check Facebook, facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork, and twitter.com/WildTalkRadio if we're doing a Raw show tomorrow night.
If we do a Raw post show, that means I have to go on with a troll. No.
Tuesday night is... I'm just skipping over it. Tuesday night is OWW Radio. Who do we have this week, Smug?
Kerry Silken and ROH champion Eddie Edwards.
That's Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern. Wednesday night, we don't know what they're talking about because we ask a question every single week. But what is the show about? Omega.
It's the geek stuff of the week. That's pretty much it. We keep the simple format because that's the way the hosts are.
We are Sex Bomb and we're here to sing songs about death and make you sad and stuff. Yes!
9 p.m. Eastern.
You're welcome.
OTL, it's a sham, it's rigged, and it's in triplicate.
Yay!
And we swear we will not be political this week.
Yes, they were political on Wednesday.
We talked an hour of politics and religion. Thank God you weren't there, Omega.
Oh, God.
An
what
hour.
Have you done?
An hour!
We actually sounded intelligent about stuff, unlike this show.
The last 15 minutes of the show.
Yes. Or the first half hour. CB Radio this Saturday night, midnight-ish, we're going to start, we're going to pay tribute to pirates. It's Talk Like a Pirate Day next Tuesday or Wednesday. So we're going to do it on... we're going to do it on us. We've been wanting to do it for like 3 years. We're doing it this Saturday on CB Radio because we're actually remembering it's Talk Like a Pirate Day coming up. So
yarr, we want to plunder Natty's booty.
Oh,
midnight is CB Radio on Saturday.
Wow.
Arrgh, I'll find me Treasure Cove.
Fire the big gun.
Sorry, Tim. Anyway, tomorrow, next Sunday at 11 p.m. Eastern.
Our sheet blows.
Take care of me buckles, I'm going down with the ship.
Time to swab the poop deck, mates.
I found a stowaway down below.
Sunday night, Universal Talk Radio, Night of Champions, pay-per-view coverage, 11 p.m. Eastern.
Quick, hit it!
Next Sunday night, we'll be back 11 p.m. Eastern right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Buy our stuff at tvradio.ewzone.com. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Twitter.com/WildTalkRadio. Follow Spug on Twitter at twitter.com/KiltedWiseman. Quilted_Wiseman and at the Mace Thing. And support Omega, tjomega.blogspot.com or youtube.com/TJOmega. Good enough?
Yar, be good enough.
well, for them. All right.
We'll shiver your timbers next week.
Good night, everyone.
Watch out for a blowhole.
Yard meeting.
WildTalkRadio.com.